It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? We are continuing to study through Numbers, and we're going to come to the end of the book of Numbers today as we have just been doing a survey. But we're going to begin with just a couple of verses back in Numbers 27, verse 15, and that's kind of where we started last time. Then we're going to read through the study today, the rest of the verses of Scripture, and they'll be over in chapter 35 and then on to Deuteronomy 34 if we get that far today. And so while you're looking up Numbers chapter 27, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you'd like to visit our website, you'll find us at www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. Hope that was enough time now for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study. And again, we're just going to read a couple of introductory verses here, and then we'll begin with prayer and then start the study. And so Numbers chapter 27, we're going to begin reading with verse 15. And Moses spake unto the Lord, saying, Let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation, which may go out before them, which may go in before them, which may lead them out, which may bring them in, and the congregation of the Lord be not as sheep which have no shepherd. Now, we're going to stop there, just with that short reading, and then we're going to begin with prayer and start the study. Father, we thank and praise you today that we can come together and enjoy these things. Please that you will guide and lead us each and every day through your word. It's your special, sweet, powerful word, so please that you will lead us each and every day, dear Lord, in your way and your will. We thank you for the study that you have given us through the book of Genesis and Exodus, and we just touched a couple of verses and chapters there in Leviticus, and now we're doing the same as we're kind of just doing a survey through Numbers, and we're going on to Joshua, and we're going to study the book of Joshua. And so please that you will just guide and lead us, dear Lord, through this time. We have watched the birth of the nation of Israel. We've watched your redemption to deliver them out of Egypt. And now we have watched the 40 years through the wilderness. So please, just continue to guide and lead us through these precious words. Teach us what you would have us to learn through this time. And most of all, dear Father, please, that you will touch every heart. And anyone that's listening today, if they have not trusted in you as their Savior, that they do that today. Call upon you and invite you into their heart to save them, to take their sin away and set them free. Please, dear Lord, that be the case today, that all that are listening will hear your voice and accept you as their Savior, and then begin a wonderful walk of service. So please, just today, dear Lord, guide and lead us. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We started with these verses because we have been told that Moses is not going to be able to go into the land, and the verses just ahead of that in verse 12 of the 27th chapter. And the Lord said unto Moses, Get thee up into this mount, Abram, and see the land which I hath given to the children of Israel. And when thou hast seen it, thou shalt be gathered unto thy people as Aaron thy brother was gathered. For ye rebelled against my commandment in the desert of Zin, in the strife of the congregation, to sanctify me at the water before their eyes, that in the water of Meribah, in Kadesh, in the wilderness of Zin. And if you remember the story, if you were with us when we went through that, there was two different times, two different situations with the water. And the one was to be given. The one was to be given to strike the rock, and that represented the crucifixion. And of course, we know that it's only God's grace, and now all we need to do is call upon Him for our salvation, call upon Him for our power and strength. He is not crucified again and again, and so He was just to speak to the rock the second time, representing that. However, Moses, in his anger against the people, not against God, but against the people. He struck the rock, and that has forfeited his opportunity of going into the promised land. We know way back when the Lord told all the congregation that there, and Moses at first, that the only ones that was going to enter the promised land is those that were, everyone would die from 20 years old and upward, and except Caleb and Joshua. And we're finding that to be true. The verses that we've read here in the 15th verse, Moses was very concerned upon his death, upon him not being able to go into the promised land, that God would appoint a man to take his place. And so, as we know, the Lord is faithful, and the Lord has taken care of that, and he has a man already in place, and that man is Joshua. And so we're going to get finished through Numbers, and we've got to go all the way through Deuteronomy here before we can come to Joshua. But at the end of Deuteronomy, and as I spoke at the beginning there, Deuteronomy chapter 34, verses 1 through 12, is actually the death of Moses. And so we have all this between. And today we're going to once again take a look, and we find in this, whether you pronounce it Eleazar or Eliezer, either way is probably a proper pronunciation. And so I'll probably from now on go with Eliezer. And as we looked at these verses of Scripture from 15 down through 23 last time we were together, and we looked at the appointment as the Lord has chosen Joshua to take the place of Moses at the death of Moses. Now, something I want you to see here, and that is that there was no retirement plan for Moses, was there? There wasn't a point in time when Moses said, "I'm too old, now it's time for someone else to take my place." And I believe if we would move quickly here, if you would like to with me over to Deuteronomy, and I think we'll see the age of Moses. If you'll look at chapter 34, and verse 7, Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eyes was not dim, nor his natural force abated. In other words, that man was a strong man when he died. You know, we are of the opinion that you get sick and you die. And if you have enough money, if your insurance is good enough and the doctors are good enough, why, basically you just live forever. And boy, if we just keep this research and all these things, there is a day appointed to be born and a day to die. Moses had his day appointed, and that was way back in Egypt 120 years before, and then this day in the land of overlooking the land of Israel, the land of Canaan, upon their arrival. And he was 120 years old, and yet his eyesight, his mind, and his body was as strong as could be. The Lord can sustain us in his in service unto him, and so it's so important that that we see that. And I want you to recognize that, again, Moses had no retirement plan. He did not work to age 110 and then retire and just go on vacation then and relax. I don't know how many times, my friend, that I hear it, and that is that it's time for me to quit teaching Sunday school, or it's time for me to quit preaching, or it's time for me to stop doing this at the church because it's time for somebody else. These young people need to do it. My dear friend, there's plenty of work to go around. And there is never a retirement. And today we see so often that the goal of our lives is that we can retire. And it's one thing to retire from our job. We're designed to work until the day we die. That's what we're supposed to be doing. We're not supposed to take a retirement. You can, maybe what you're doing you can't physically do anymore. Maybe what you're doing you can't mentally do anymore. But there is something you can do. And whatever it is, you seek that way, and you do it. You just need to serve the Lord and praise the Lord with all of your strength, and you need to continue to teach Sunday school. Please, I just ask that you'll give a kind of a second thought on what most folks do today, and that is that they get to a place in their life at and normally it's age 55, 60, 65, that they, in this area, you haul off and go south on us. And where is the work? How does the work within the local church continue? And we've convinced ourselves that we deserve this. You know, God has no allowance for that in His Word. And so I'm asking you, my friend, to consider what the cost is. And I just want you to serve the Lord with all of your heart and with all of your strength. Moses did. Moses did until his last breath. He was a servant. Back here, back in this chapter 27 of Numbers, he is appointing his replacement. And so we find that it's almost a year later by the time that takes place. But Moses wanted to see that there was going to be somebody that was going to take his place and serve him. Now, I want you to see that. I want you to see that there is no retirement in God's work. We need to work and we need to serve and we need to praise our Lord till the last breath that we have. And I think if we would see more and more people serving the Lord in their latter days instead of relaxing, I think we'd have less people in a nursing home. I think we'd have less people sick because they wouldn't be near so self-concerned about their self and being able to do all these fun things that they say are fun things. There is nothing more enjoyable. There's nothing more exciting than serving the Lord. I don't care what it is out there. Nothing. And if that's not the way it is in your heart, then your heart's not right. And so we're going to get on now into this next section of Scripture because I want you to see that the man has been appointed. So we've had two. We're going to have two replacements. Aaron's already dead. And so we have him, Eliezer is taking his place, so now we have a new high priest, and there will also be a new leader to take him across the Jordan River, and that man is going to be Joshua. And so now that we have looked at that, let's come through the chapters here, and again, I am just scanning this, and I'm missing so much, so I hope that between times that you are reading through these areas of Scripture, but I want you to take a look at something that the Lord gives us. And that is a place of refuge. You know, that is our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we look for peace. We look for all these things in our lives. But our Lord is our refuge. And we find a city here, six cities actually, and it's cities of refuge. Now, we're going to look here at Numbers chapter 35. And so if you want to turn on to that chapter, we're going to read these verses of Scripture. And I want you to see, we're going to read all the way down to verse 29. And so please just follow along with me. Maybe you've never heard of the cities of refuge. And the Lord spake unto Moses in the plains of Moab by Jordan, near Jericho, saying, Command the children of Israel that they give unto the Levites of the inheritance of their possession cities to dwell in, and ye shall give also unto Levites suburbs for the cities round about them. And the cities shall they have to dwell in, and the suburbs of them shall be for their cattle and for their goods and for all their beasts. And the suburbs of the cities which ye shall give unto the Levites shall reach from the wall of the cities and outward 1,000 cubits round about. And ye shall measure from without the city on the east side 2,000 cubits, and on the south side 2,000 cubits, on the west side 2,000 cubits, on the north side 2,000 cubits, and the city shall be the midst, and this shall be to them the suburbs of the city. And among the cities which ye shall give unto the Levites, there shall be 6 cities for refuge, which ye shall appoint for the manslayer, that ye may flee thither, and to them ye shall add 42 cities. So all the cities which ye shall give to the Levites shall be 48 cities. Them shall ye give with the suburbs, and the cities which ye shall give, the cities which ye shall give shall be for the possession of the children of Israel. From them that have many, ye shall give many. But from them that have few, ye shall give few. Every one shall give of his cities unto the Levites according to his inheritance, which he inheriteth. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When ye become over Jordan into the land of Canaan, then ye shall appoint you cities to be cities of refuge for you, that the slayer may flee thither, which killeth any person at unawares. And they shall be unto you cities for refuge from the avenger, that the manslayer die not until he stand before the congregation in judgment. And these cities which ye shall give, six cities shall ye have for refuge. And ye shall give the three cities on this side of the Jordan, and three cities to be given in the land of Canaan, which shall be cities of refuge. These six cities shall be a refuge both for the children of Israel and for the stranger and for the sojourner among them, that every one that killeth any person unawares may flee thither. And if he smite him with an instrument of iron so that he die, he is a murderer, and the murderer shall surely be put to death. And if he smite him with throwing of a stone wherewith he may die, and he die, he is a murderer, and the murderer shall surely be put to death. Or if he smite him with a hand weapon of wood wherewith he may die, and he die, he is a murderer, and the murderer shall surely be put to death. And the avenger of blood himself shall slay the murderer when he meeteth him, and he shall slay him. But if he thrust him for hatred, or hurl at him by laying of weight that he die, or in enmity smite him with his hand that he die, he that smote him will surely be put to death. For he is a murderer, the avenger of blood shall slay the murderer when he meeteth him. But if he thrust him suddenly without enmity, or have cast upon him anything without laying of weight, or with any stone, wherewith a man may die, seeing him not, and cast it upon him that he die, and was not his enemy, neither sought his harm, then the congregation shall judge between the slayer and the avenger of blood, according to these judgments. And the congregation shall deliver the slayer out of the hand of the revenger of blood, and the congregation shall restore him to the city of refuge, whither he was fled, and shall abide in it unto death of the high priest, which was appointed with holy oil. But if the slayer shall at any time come without the border of the city of his refuge, whether he was fled, the avenger of blood find him without the borders of the city of his refuge, and the revenger of blood kill the slayer, he shall not be guilty of blood, because he should have remained in the city of refuge until the death of the high priest. But after the death of the high priest, the slayer shall return into the land of his possession. So these things shall be for a statute of judgment unto you throughout your generations in all your dwellings. Now that was quite a reading there, and I didn't like to take so much time to read that, but we really had to read the whole thing to kind of get it straight. Now here's what's in this section of Scripture, chapter 35. If a man would kill someone, and it was on purpose, If you murdered someone because you were stealing from them, or you hated someone and so you murdered them, then you were held accountable and you were put to trial, but you would be put to death. And so, very clearly, you know, a lot of people, you know, look at the death of someone, you know, to put somebody to death today. Well, you have the appeals and the appeals and the appeals, and it goes for years upon years to appeal the death sentence. Well, it shouldn't be. If there is no question that that man or woman, whichever the case might be, has killed someone else on purpose, and the jury has tried that person, then that person should be put to death and put to death immediately. And that is the Word of God. And if we would have that back in place today, the murderers in this land would drop dramatically, because there would be that fear. But today we have soft-spoken it so much that it just today, why appeal after appeal after appeal, and it is so costly because of all that. Now, here the Scripture is very clear on how to deal with a murderer. Now, how about the person that didn't mean to? It was an accident. Maybe it was with an animal. Maybe a horse or an oxen or something had happened. Maybe you accidentally bumped someone and they fell and fell off of a cliff, or they fell and they hit their head, and in each case they died. Well, the reason for these cities of refuge that we have here, these six cities, is because it's possible that a family member or a close friend would have been so angry that they would have turned and wanted to kill me if I would have accidentally killed someone. So there's a city of refuge, a place to go where that it can be determined that it was an accident. And if it was an accident, then there was a safe haven for you, and that safe haven would remain, as the Scripture said, and you may need to reread this 35th chapter at a later time, but the deadline is that you're to stay in that place of refuge, flee to that place of refuge. There are six cities, three on each side of the Jordan. And I'll explain in a minute why that we have that, because we haven't quite got to that place yet, have we? But there are three cities on each side of the Jordan that you would flee to immediately, and you would be safe there. And you would stay there until the high priest died. And that seems like quite a time period, because could be a year, could be 10 years, could be 30 years. But until the high priest died, then you could return back to your home and be safe. And so that is if it was by accident. But if it wasn't by accident, this is no city of refuge for the murderer, for the manslayer. There's no safe place for them. You go after them, you judge them guilty, and then you condemn them to death, and they are put to death. And that's the way it should be. That's the way it was placed here. This isn't something that I do. In other words, if someone would kill a family member of mine, and whether by accident or otherwise, it is not my place to go after them and put them to death. It is the place of the government. God has ordained the government, and that's the place for the government. Now, a couple things here that we need to look at, and that is these refuge cities. These are cities of Levites. There are, begin with, 42 cities that the Levites have. Now, the congregation, all the people, are to support these people, because you see, this is where they would come, because you only three times a year would travel all the way to Jerusalem. And so we needed a place where the people could be taught the Word of God. And these Levites were placed in proper places throughout all the land on both sides of the Jordan, so that there was a place and a central location so you could come to hear the Word of God, to learn the Word of God, that as the elder of your family, that you could be the teacher and you be instructed. Because, you know, we come together once a week on Sunday morning to be taught the Word of God, come back on Sunday night, come back on Wednesday night. You know, we have a ladies' Bible study on Tuesday afternoon. We have Sunday school classes. All of this time, we are teaching and teaching and teaching. This is a reason for these radio programs, that we teach the Word of God, that folks will know it. So, strategically located were these 42 cities, and God added six more to the Levites that made them a total of 48 cities. And six of them, three on each side, were places of refuge for these people if something happened and you needed to go to this place of refuge. Stay there till the high priest died. Now, Scripture is very clear. If you come out of that city of refuge, then no longer are you to be cared for. And the person that is avenging you could put you to death, and they would not be held responsible. But if you go into the city of refuge, and you see, we need to know that our God is a city of refuge. Jesus is a city of a place of refuge, and we need to be in Him and under Him always. So, first of all, you need to trust in Jesus as your Savior. And once you have trusted in Him and He's come into your heart and saved you, then, my friend, is when the time begins that you can serve Him and praise Him and honor Him. But this old world hates the believers, and so we need to stay in, so to speak, the city of refuge, and that is under the Word of God and under His truth, and stay there and never leave there. And we know who our high priest is. The high priest is our Lord Jesus. And so, now, just a couple of things here. Number one, it says on each side of the Jordan. Now, that may have puzzled you a little bit, because if you don't have not studied the Old Testament, you don't realize that 2.5 tribes stayed on the other side. They never crossed the Jordan into the Promised Land. They never did. They parked there, they located themselves there, and they were there for an extended period of time before they crossed the Jordan, before Moses died and Joshua took rule. And before that took place, what happened was that they settled in and they liked it over there. And you see, that's exactly the way many Christians are. They never cross the Jordan into the Promised Land to get the full blessings, because they look at it over here and this is okay. This will be all right. And so it's so sad. 2.5 tribes did that. And we'll kind of look at those 2.5 tribes later. But now, we have this, so that's the reason for the division. And we have cities on both sides. We had three cities of refuge on each side. And they are cities of Levites. And one more thing before we run out of time today. These cities of refuge and the other 42 cities, 48 total, were all supported by all the rest of the people. And if the tribe of Zebulun had was a small number, then they would give a small amount. If there was a Naphtali and they were a big tribe, then they would give much. You gave according to your size. And so, and that is how the Levites lived. You know, it's the same way today with the pastors of our churches. They're to be able to be supported by the congregation. As the congregation comes and brings their tithes and offerings, that's the support of the church and of the pastor. And we have the same thing here. With the Levites. The Levites owned no land. Everything was brought in by the people so they could study the Word of God and proclaim the Word of God. And so this 35th chapter had a lot in it. For us to learn about the cities of Levi, to learn about the six cities of refuge, three on each side, to learn what happens to the man that accidentally caused the death of someone versus someone that is just a plain old murderer. And it even gives us the size of the cities and the suburbs that were there. And so that's a very quick visit over this 35th chapter. Now, we're going to, because we're out of time, we're going to go next time. And we may even cover some things through the book of Deuteronomy, but I wanted to show you when the death, and that's in Deuteronomy 34, is the death of Moses and Joshua takes charge, because that's kind of where we left off last time. You know, it's so important that we trust and believe the Word of God and that we follow the Word of God. And it's so important that you trust in Jesus as your Savior. And so please today, whatever you do, ask Jesus into your heart. Please, as the Holy Spirit's convicting your heart, ask Jesus into your heart to save you. And He will. And He will keep you. And then begin to study the Word of God. And please, don't just kind of, I'll do this until I'm old enough and then I'm going to retire. Please don't do that. please serve the Lord until your last breath. I don't care where that is, in a nursing home or where it's at, but serve the Lord and praise God. Moses, you'll find that Moses did just that. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?